So that brings me, we have the house lights now, that brings me to my message that I want to bring to you tonight and what God spoke to my heart about. So take your Bible, if you would, and find Matthew chapter 28 and give me just a few minutes of your time as we come down to the end of the presentation. Jesus was speaking to the disciples and he said these words, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." So my question to you after seeing this presentation is, what does missions mean to you? What does it mean to me? I asked myself this question. And of course, it drew my attention to Jesus, the Great Commission that he told the disciples. And so I want to give you just four simple thoughts tonight about what I hope the Great Commission can mean after seeing this presentation. Number one, I think we should take the Great Commission seriously. Jesus said in Mark 16:15 that we should take the gospel to every creature. That's a command. That is a command out of the mouth of our Lord. That command has not changed over these 2,000 plus years. We are still underneath the truth of that command. We're underneath to obey that command and submit to that command. And we'll never take it seriously unless we take the words of our Savior seriously. When you visit the Tongs and the Kims, they prepare their children to serve the Lord. Now, all of their children do not serve the Lord, and that's a heartbreak to them. That's one part of my ministry to them while I was there. But to see Joseph and to see Dr. Kim, Priscilla, and see a second generation coming behind that want to be a part of that is tremendous. Sin has a pull on all of our children. I don't care what culture you live in. And it constantly is pulling at them. And we must work at putting missions in the heart of our children. We've got to work at it. We just can't have a missions conference once a year and it be enough. I'm convinced of that. If we take the Great Commission seriously, that means that God has given us children not just to learn how to play sports and make money, but perhaps be a missionary. Perhaps take the gospel, be a preacher. I'm not saying everybody has to be, and you know that. But we've at least got to keep the message out there for our children that God could tug on their hearts and perhaps call them to preach. Now, I would like to see more of that in our church. I believe that we can have more of it in our church. And then when they are called to preach, they have to go and get educated so that they will know how to minister. And so all the education doesn't make a preacher. The call of God makes a preacher or a missionary. But education sharpens their skills and creates, and it serves as a boot camp for them. People who can't make it through Bible college doubt they're going to make it into ministry anywhere, whether it's at a church around the corner or whether it's on the mission field. And so we have to train them. We have to see that when God lights a fire in their heart, that we nurture that along. I think sometimes, to be quite honest with you, we're more about our kids making money, getting six figures. We're more about, let's be sure that they're going to be able to take care of us when we get old. And we've got the wrong concept. When we give our children to the Lord, when we dedicate our children to the Lord, we need to get our hands off their lives and let God work in their life. And perhaps if God worked in their life and called your son to preach, Dad, that you should be as proud of that. And I was so grateful as a grown man when God called me to preach. My family was behind me. My family encouraged me. There were times when I would not even call them because I know they would ask questions and then they would send help. And I wanted God to do it. And there were many, many times that I would never tell them because I wanted God to do it. But they were very supportive of us. My family was. And I'm grateful for that. And when one of our young people are called to preach, we ought to get behind them and support them in the best way that we possibly can. And see them do the very best for the Lord that they can do. Secondly, we need to take the Great Commission personally. I know I did when I read Romans chapter 10. How then shall they call on in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And that became very personal to me. I took it personal the morning I read that. And how shall they preach except they be sent? And so when God spoke to my heart about preaching, it changed my life forever. And when God speaks to our children about preaching, we should do all that we possibly can. Our grandchildren, we should do all that we can to encourage them and support them. And in doing so, see them get their education and see them in the ministry. Oh, how we need it so desperately. What does missions mean to you? Do you take it seriously? Do you take it personally? Would you take it personally? How would you respond if your daughter says, I want to marry a preacher? How would you respond? Would you support that? How would you respond if your son said, God is calling me to preach? Or even better yet, God's calling me to missions and I'm going to leave America and I'm going to go to a foreign country. And you're going to have limited access to your grandchildren. These are the things that grip our heart. These are the things that show us whether or not we are really serious about the Great Commission. If we really do take it personally. And then thirdly, take the Great Commission geographically. And that's what Paul did in Acts chapter 16, the Macedonian call. Come over and help us. And that's what Paul decided to do. And so geographically, and that's why, lastly, we should take missions practically. And we do that by understanding where are the people groups today? Where are the most unreached people groups today? I would be saying that if I could take, as I said at the beginning of the service, and wind the clock backwards over 30 years, where are the people groups? Well, they're in that 1040 window. The 1040 window is taken out off the equator, the latitude and longitude, and that is the picture of the 1040 window. And if you notice, North Africa, all the way across, you go through India, all the way to Southeast Asia. Those are the largest unreached people groups. Now, we have a young family in our church that's getting ready to go to the 1040 window. When Brother Jesse gets finished with his education, he's going here. He's going somewhere in that 1040 window. They're going to be leaving this fall for a mission trip, he and Deborah. And of course, we'll help them. We'll help them on their mission trip. Because we want our people who God calls out from our church, especially when they get a grip on this matter of not just geographically going and not only personally and taking it seriously, but practically, here's the 1040 window. Here's where the largest people groups in the world are in darkness. And let me just do one more slide and show you this window up close. Now I want you to look at this, a closer look at the 1040 window. There's the 1040 window right there. Notice North Africa, Islam, India, Hinduism, China, all the pink area, just non-religious. You can't even get in that country as an American unless you're going to teach English or have a business. And then Southeast Asia, filled full of Buddhism. And that's the 1040 window. That's the people groups that are the largest on the nation and on the world, in the world today, that are unreached. I say to you, we're a Baptist church. We have a Christian school. Are we training servants to supposedly hear the call of God? Or are we training future businessmen and women to make money or to play a sport? You know, I don't want us to ever cut our nose off to despite our face when it comes to this matter of worldwide evangelism. I don't want us to do it. I don't want us to become so accustomed. I tell you, going to the mission field was one of the greatest things that's happened in many years in my life. It's been a long time since I've been, over 6 years, since I've been to any mission field. And I could not have gone to any better place and had a wonderful time, but it pressed upon me the importance of reminding you as your pastor that we have a we have an obligation under the command of our Savior to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And we need to fulfill that in the best of our ability. So as God touches our kids, our grandkids, calls them, let's release them. Let's let them go. Let's let them follow the will of God for their life. Not all of them will be called, and we know that. But may we never look lightly upon missions. And going to the mission field will keep that warm in your heart. Lord willing, this fall, you're going to be invited to join a mission trip down in Puerto Rico. I recommend you highly setting money aside, as I mentioned a few months back, so that you could take your family and go. It will change your life. So when that trip comes, and we're still working with them, we don't know all of it yet, but when that trip comes, everyone that can come on that trip, if you could, would help you and do you good. It'll change your life. So what does missions mean to you? I want you to know that I asked myself that question, and the 7 days that I spent in Myanmar was one of the greatest 7 days I've ever spent in my life. It showed me how spoiled we are. It showed me our responsibility. And to see that the Tongs and the Kims at Grace Baptist Church and Grace Baptist College and Grace Baptist Theological Seminary, they are doing what we are to be doing, and many times to our shame. May God help us. Let's give our kids to the Lord, and let's ask God to work in their lives, and perhaps God will even call one of them to the mission field. Would you stand with me, please?